All right, guys, welcome to episode one of the ZCA Class of 02 podcast. And I'm here with a very special guest. I couldn't think of anybody better fitting to be the first inaugural guest on the podcast than our class president himself, Joel Moss. How's it going, Joel?
Wow. It's good to be here. This is exciting. I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, we've got obviously like as this podcast goes on, this episode, like we're gonna do a lot of catching up and stuff. But like, I'm really excited because you and I have like kept in touch a little bit here and there throughout the years. But like, there's probably a ton of stuff that like I don't even know. So this like, it's exciting for me too, you know?
Yeah,
So.
it's awesome. I think so much life has gone by. I think it's tough to know where to start, but I'm excited for the series, and I can't wait to watch everybody else's videos and see what's going on out there.
Nice. Okay, so I'm going to start off with a little quick, before we get into everything, a little quick trip down memory lane. I've got the senior yearbook here in front of me. And so not everybody is going to be able to have this because there's going to be people that were in our class that didn't graduate. But for those of us that did graduate, I just want to go through some of the stuff and see A, if any of it sounds familiar, B, if any of it came to fruition or what case. So we'll start off with some nicknames. So see if you remember any of these nicknames. J Moose.
Yeah,
Okay.
definitely. We stuck around with the moose.
Yeah. Joseph.
That was probably Kara, I'm
Okay.
guessing.
And then Mojo.
Yeah, I don't. Was that the name of the monkey from what, a cartoon?
Maybe. I don't know.
With the brain? Wasn't there like Powder Puff Girls or something like
I'll
that?
possibly.
I remember that.
I'm not really sure. Either way, I don't remember. I kind of remember Joseph. I don't remember either of the other two nicknames for you.
Yeah, the moose one is carried on to this day in my office. I've got moose everywhere, and everyone's like, "What's that all about?" I was like, "Well, it's either that or a mouse, and so I'd rather be a moose." So,
That's fair. Yeah, it's
yeah.
I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like nicknames, there were a few people that like obviously like J Bud, right? Nobody rarely did people call him Jesse. It was always J Bud, right? But I feel like most of us for the most part went just by our names. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I don't remember a ton of like nicknames that was like that's what I call this person 100% of the time.
Yeah, no. I think it was before the era of like IDs and people like allowed to go by the nicknames. We weren't
Yeah.
allowed to.
Okay, so I'm gonna list some of your activities that you listed here in the yearbook. So activities: soccer 9 through 12, basketball 10 through 12, NHS. What was NHS? Do you remember?
National Honor Society.
Okay, that makes sense. So
Yeah.
10 through 12, student council 9 through 12. Were you the president all 4 years? Do you remember?
No, just junior and senior year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then spiritual council 11 through 12.
Yeah.
So here's the fun part now. Here's your future, and let's see how much of this happens. So go to a Christian college.
Check.
Check, okay. Become a youth pastor.
In a way, but no.
Sure, okay. Get married
Yep.
and own a jet ski.
Still no jet ski.
Hey,
That is still on the bucket list, I guess.
you
Did
got
not know
time.
that that was on there.
Yeah.
That was completely forgotten about.
So some of your favorite memories are playing extreme shoot the rock after school hours, throwing all the girls soccer team into the mud pit, getting
Yep.
thrown into the mud pit by the girls soccer team. I don't remember that. Was it like a end of the season thing?
No, we were helping out with, they started a girls team, and so some of the guys went to go be like assistant coaches.
Yeah.
Literally, it was just an excuse to go hang out with girls in the school.
Sure.
And then obviously the field always flood, so it was during the girls season, which was different than the boys season.
Yeah,
But
because
yeah,
theirs was the same, like they were the spring, right? Where we were the
I think
fall.
so. I think so.
Yeah, that makes
Something
sense.
like that.
Okay, so one of the things, I'm just going to read one of these. People say you are always studying, and then you have in parentheses, when I'm not. I thought that was funny. Here's some try to imagines. Try to imagine me not having ramen to trade at lunch. Do you have ramen a lot?
I guess I did. I had definitely had a lot more ramen in college,
Yeah.
in order to survive. But yeah, ramen was a favorite.
another thing that you said to try to imagine was try to imagine you getting an A in Miss Kane's class. I don't think anybody really got an A in Miss Kane's class.
She was tough. Tell you what, but out of all the teachers, I would say that, by the way, this is Teacher Appreciation Week.
Oh, is it?
So I want to give a shout out to Mrs. Kane. As much as she was challenging, I did end up going and doing English in college. And so I really appreciate how hard she was. As you can tell, I probably had a little bone to pick with her as if I put her name into the yearbook because it was so hard. So.
What's so I don't know, I don't know if the college you went to had it like the option where you could like, because I started off, I did my first, man, not even full 2 years, but my first little bit of time at Macomb. And so they
Yeah.
gave me like the test to see like where you place, and I was able to like advance out of some of the classes. And the two that I remember specifically were math, because again, as much as we always might have given them crazy trouble, like our math teachers were pretty good. And
Yeah.
then
They
English.
were.
My English was like
Yeah.
same thing. So like I was able to like ha like skip a bunch of classes that I would normally have to take. Did you have a
See, and we
similar
never
scenario?
appreciated that.
Right.
Well, I remember going to college and going to my first English class, and the teacher just starting to talk about, I don't know, something random, like parts of speech. And she's like, "And so how many of you know what a preposition is?" And like, I'm like the only one in the back of the class, like raising my hand up. And I was like, "Thank you, Mrs. Kane. You saved my bacon." So you never appreciate it when you're walking through it, but you get into different situations, you go, "Oh, we actually got a very good education while we were there." And I don't know that we really appreciated it while we were there, but afterwards, I definitely could see it for what it was.
Yeah, I mean, I know like me personally, I definitely did not apply myself in high school really, like, but I still learned. I just didn't have that drive to like really take things too super super serious. And even still having that attitude, I learned a ton of stuff. So it's, I mean, it's definitely impressive.
Yeah, it's just such a cool school. And I remember the first day that I met you.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember your first day of school.
I vaguely.
We were sitting in science class. It was either Mr. McCormick or Mrs. Winters. And suddenly someone was like, "Hey, Joel, can you come here for a second?" And I was like, I thought I was in trouble. So I get up and kind of go outside the classroom, and right outside the classroom, you were standing there, and they're like, "This is Josh. It's his first day of school. Can you kind of show him around, like with the schedule and stuff?" I think it was 7th grade. Did you start it?
No, ninth grade.
Okay.
I
For
yeah.
some reason in my head, it's 7th grade, but I just remember that day meeting you, and then like I think we had the same schedule, so we had to walk around in 9th grade, and then that was just the beginning of a really cool 4 years of high school where we got to hang out and do some crazy stuff. But that's like my first memory of you is just standing in the hallway being like, "Hi, I'm new." And it was pretty cool.
Was that something that obviously like, and I don't mean this like, I guess I kind of mean it in a joke way, but not like the joke was always, hey, Joel, be a leader, right? But like you really were like a leader in the classroom. Was that something that they would lean on you for often to like kind of that you recall anyway?
I look back on it, and my dad was part of the school board, so that was probably how it started, of like, "Oh, he's the one of the board's kids, so he has to do what he's supposed to do. He has to do the right thing so we can connect him with it." But yeah, that at first that bothered me a lot when people would say that, but then I realized it was kind of a tongue-in-cheek like compliment.
For sure.
Because that's what the teachers would say to me. And then so the kids heard them say that, and they'd be like, so then they would throw like, "Hey, come on, you're not doing enough." And I was like, "Come on, cut me some slack here. I'm trying to do what I'm supposed to do,
Yeah.
But I think that was just part of when you go to a small school where people are there for years and they know each other and they spend a lot of time with each other. It's that you kind of things and things that people say just to kind of throw something at you, you realize it's all in good fun. And I think there's an Australian saying that if your mates aren't giving you a hard time, you don't have any.
Okay.
And that was definitely something about our class. We love to give each other a hard time. And I feel like everybody got it one way or another.
I really don't think I recall that many times. I mean, I can't recall any off the top of my head. I'm sure it happened, but where our classmates would be like easily offended with each other, or like really like, you're right, we would always give each other a hard time, but we also knew like, hey, this is just like, that was just the way that we, I guess, did our thing. I don't know.
Yeah, it was, it definitely was part of our class culture. And I'm sure you'll get to talk to a lot of people in this series, but I felt like we had a pretty resilient class. I think it was part of the decade that we grew up in and what was it kind of expected of us. So
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Well,
yeah.
before we get too deep into Zoe memories, I want to just kind of change gears really quick, because I want to really start off like the episode, all the episodes that we do here, with just you catching us up on what life has been since high school. And this could be a 5 minute thing if you want to go for 30. Like, you go as in depth as you want, but do your best job of trying to refresh anybody that, like, imagine somebody hasn't seen you or talked to you since that we graduated,
Graduation.
and they want to know
Okay,
everything.
so like 22 years, right?
Yeah.
By the way, who's going to do this for you? When are you going to share what you've been up to?
I don't know. I'll
No,
figure that out. I'll figure it out at some point.
okay. Right after we graduated, I went off to Oklahoma for college. And I knew a couple of people that from if I say SES sometime during this, meaning Zoe, it's because I work at a Christian school now, and SES is we're Smithtown Christian School. So if that just gets slips in there, it's because I'm getting old and forget stuff. But yeah, so after Zoe, I went off to Oral Roberts University in Oklahoma, and I was there for a while. After I College was just great for me. I really made some awesome friendships and really found a community that just loved to challenge you. People who would ask the hard questions. And while I was there, I got involved in the missions program that they had. And so there was this cute little Italian girl who we kind of worked on mission staff together and did some different things. And lo and behold, after 4 years of being friends, we started dating right when we graduated college. Got married shortly thereafter, and started teaching in Oklahoma. And so we both were teachers at a Christian school. I don't know if any of you grew up. I know I did. So if you grew up, in Michigan, you probably remember Gospel Bill.
Okay.
Those old Western TV shows of the guy with the gun, and it was like a Western, and they're still out there, by the way. You can still find them. We actually started teaching at his school because he had a big mega church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Willie George, and that's where we just learned a whole new world of kids ministry, of Christian school. Worked at a great Christian school there called Lincoln Christian School. They had about 1,000 kids in their school, so it was just this massive, beautiful place. And we were there for about 5 years. And then we just felt called to move. And it wasn't that we wanted to leave. We really loved where we were at. We loved where we were serving. We had been there for 5 years, so we had good, strong community there. And got a job offer in Michigan, where I'm from, of course. Got a job offer in New York, where my wife is from. And we just felt like we were called to come up to New York. So we moved from Tulsa, Oklahoma to Long Island, New York. Couldn't get two more polar opposite ends of the spectrum in every way imaginable. Culture and cost of living and all that crazy stuff. So it was a really big transition for us. We moved and had our first baby within a month of moving out to Long Island. So it was a massive change of life. It was a really hard transition for us, But at the same time, we really saw everything that we had been through in the last, 25 years of life. She went to a Christian school. I went to a Christian school. All the people that really poured into us helped us to go through those tough challenges. So now we've been in Long Island now here for, gosh, 11 years,
Okay.
and worked at the Christian school actually that my wife graduated from, Smithtown Christian School. For the last 6 years, I've been Mr. Molino of the school. So I've been the guy in charge here, doing my best to go through COVID and all the craziness with that, and transitions of our school. And we're doing well. We survived COVID as a school and all the craziness that came along with that. We've had two more kids in the last 11 years, so now we have three. We have a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 3-year-old. And life is crazy, and it's hard, but it's good. And we're just still learning how important it is that we are in community, that we have people who call us when we skip church and say, "Hey, where were you?" People that we can call when we're having a hard time. It's just important to have people around you. So, gosh. So yeah, I live in Long Island, New York. It's kind of like the weirdest place ever. I never pictured moving out here. A lot of people think of it as like the Great Gatsby, with Leonardo DiCaprio, which takes place on Long Island. But it's really this just microcosm of everything in the world smashed into one little place. So if you go far out east, there's farms and there's vineyards and all that stuff. There's beaches nearby. But then there's also New York City, obviously, just a 2-hour drive. But not very church-friendly place. Not very faith-friendly. A lot of secularism in the state as well, which kind of in some ways makes it a bit of a battleground state, especially what we're trying to do with Christian school. There's a lot of things that they don't want us to do that we have to fight to be able to do. So it's a rewarding thing. It's definitely something that you have to be called to, which I do feel like I'm called to it. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it, because it's just really hard. So, but that's what we've been doing here. And every once in a while, I'll get to visit back in Michigan. My parents still live there. My sister still lives there. We're actually this summer we're going to be able to come, and we just love Michigan, and can't wait to spend more time there.
So
So.
let me ask you some follow-up questions. With you being, as you put it, the Mr. Molino of the school that you're in now. And I don't know if you have any intentions of sharing this episode so with anybody that would hear it from the school. So if so, like obviously say what you can with this, but like what's like your biggest challenge and what's your like greatest reward in being in that position
Those are great questions.
that you can say on the podcast anyway.
Yeah. So, biggest challenge. Well, I'll start with the greatest reward. I'm reading this great book by John Mark Comer. It's called Practicing the Way. Just a brilliant guy who kind of breaks down where a lot of people are at right now with their faith and how they got there if they grew up in the church in the 80s and 90s. And basically his biggest piece of this is, we've been told that when you live the Christian life, that good things will happen to you. And when you live the Christian life, that you'll be rewarded. But he just makes a big point where the biggest reward for following Jesus is Jesus himself, is being able to rely on him. It's being able to commune with him. It's being able to have him. So I would say that's the biggest reward, because again, there's so many challenges to a position like this that, there's very little natural reward. People, all of the successes of the school, you get to spread out to your team and say, "Hey, you guys did it." And any of the major problems, it's just your fault. And you have to own all those things. So the biggest reward is just feeling like and knowing that I'm being obedient to what God has called me to do. And then within that, there's always joy, because the Lord will call people to do things that are hard. Obviously, we see people in third world countries that are in miserable situations, and the Lord has called them to serve there. But God never calls anyone to be miserable. And so even if it's, to the darkest dungeon in Peru, that person still has unlimited joy available to them in what they're doing. So that's the biggest reward. And also, my 10-year-old is at the school with me as well. So anything I do, I feel like I get to be with her and help her, and just that's a big connection for me. So I love being able to do stuff with her. The biggest challenge, if you'd asked me a while ago, like it would be just the culture shock from Tulsa to New York.
Okay.
The spiritual culture difference. And even just how people are. In Tulsa, there's just this massive respect for leadership. There's massive respect for pastors. I remember teaching fifth grade in my school in Tulsa. I would, call on a kid, and he'd raise his hand, and I'd say, "Okay, Johnny," and he would stand up, and he would push his chair in before he was going to address the teacher, right? And I was like, "No, we don't have time for that. Like, just tell me the answer, man. We got to keep going here. Like, cut out all this incredible respect." And so, and that was just something that the parents really pushed into their kids, and it was standard culture. And New York is say it like it is. People will tell you exactly what they think about you. And the thing is, it took time to understand that when people feel like you're family with them, they'll die for you. But until that's the case, if you're still a little bit of a stranger, like people can be pretty harsh. So that was probably the biggest challenge, was just realizing that that's just a culture difference and not a, "Oh my word, where did I go and who are these people and why are they so mean?" So, because that's not really my personality. I tend to keep things to myself and try not to offend anybody with what I'm
Sure.
really thinking about them. So,
That's fair.
yeah, good
So
question.
I guess, and this is probably more so just for myself and obviously with Tim Pernage as well. Was anybody else at your wedding from this class?
From Jenny was there, but she didn't stand up in it though.
Okay,
So
but
I think
okay,
it was just him. Yeah, Josh. Yeah.
so her as well. So the church is the school that you're at now a part of that church that we went to? So okay, yeah,
Yeah, it's inside of it.
I was just curious myself. So
Yeah.
when so just for like paint timeline wise, what year did you get married and what year did you move to Long Island?
So I got married in, so we graduated high school in 2002, graduated college in 2006, got married in 2008,
Okay.
and then we moved out to Long Island in 2013. So we were
Okay.
5 years in Tulsa, on our own, doing our own thing. It was just great and awesome. Moved to New York and had a baby and started living with my in-laws. So it was like, wow, this is really hard. And again, we only did it because we really felt like that's what the Lord wanted us to do.
Yeah.
So,
Oh, it's awesome.
yeah.
Well, I guess before we go into like the next kind of portion of just talking all kinds of Zoe stuff, is there anything else you want to catch us up on like pre or graduation till now? Is there anything else we need to know?
I'm probably very much similar in personality as I was. I don't think I've changed a whole lot.
Okay.
I married someone who is the complete opposite of me, and I'm so glad I did. It's very good. So I'm still kind of reserved, and she's not. So if you ever get to meet her, she is the life of the party. Stephanie is loud. She's 100% Italian. So yeah,
Well,
that's probably the biggest thing to know.
I think I might have alluded to this on the Facebook group. But if not, like I'll just make the announcement here, I guess. I'm up in the air on whether or not I'm going to try and kind of do another meetup in May just to kind of make up for the one. But I'm definitely planning on doing one in July when you're in town. So for those of you
Cool.
listening that maybe haven't met Stephanie, maybe there'd be a chance to meet her if she comes out too, or whatever the case may be. So.
There you go. And if you all don't come, we won't take offense. It's okay. We're not that special, but maybe we are.
That's
And
not a way to get them there. You just have to tell them you're going to be very offended if they don't come.
okay, I will be very offended and hold it personally.
Okay, so Zoe stuff, and I don't have any idea of where, like, I told you to go ahead and think of some stories you want to share, some memories, whatever. I don't know where you're
Yeah.
going with this, and I kind of like that too. So I'll kind of give you the floor, and I'll chime in here and here and there.
Okay.
So.
So, I was trying to think back, and again, Teacher Appreciation Week this week. And I realized a lot of the highlights and memories, things that are in the yearbook even, are not like the mundane day-to-day stuff. It's the stuff that we remember. And so, I just remember so many times where like something crazy would happen, and I feel like we didn't fully appreciate the craziness of it, and we were just like, yeah, this is normal life, because we're teenagers. And I'm sure when our parents found out about it or our teachers found out about it, they're like, what are you doing? So I remember we were in Science Olympiad, and for some reason we did not have a chaperone. And so we were a bunch of teenage boys left in the science room by ourselves, and we just started like doing stuff because we were bored out of our minds, because I think they left us in there for a few weeks or so. So I remember finding a bunch of CDs and just using them as frisbees and like trying to throw them, but there's no way you can catch a frisbee, a CD, if someone is throwing it at you. So they were just hitting random places and shattering everywhere. And I can't believe we did that, probably as juniors or seniors. I don't know, maybe juniors. And then I remember one time, I think the assistant principal walked in like just as we were doing it, and like literally right after CDs were smashing against the walls, he walked in and we just kind of just sat there and act like nothing happened, and like, and he didn't see all the broken shards all over the floor, and he's like, how are you guys doing? We're like, we're doing good. He's like, okay, keep up the good work. And he left. And then we kind of felt the heat a little bit at that moment, and we kind of cleaned up some of the stuff. But we were just left to our own devices, and I'm amazed that like nobody got hurt, and nobody, like, we just, it's almost like we knew the level of stupidity that you could go to without like someone breaking a bone. And so it was all good, like wholesome fun. But just I missed those times of just that carelessness and carefree life. I think we got into the chemical cabinet as well, and started throwing like potassium and stuff and seeing what would happen if we put it in water and things. And I think we only did it once or twice, and then we were like, okay, this is probably too far. Let's put all the chemicals back. But it was a wild, crazy time, and there's this camaraderie, and homecoming was always just so much fun. I still to this day, can't figure out how they let us gave us so much time to just be with each other and build floats and work on skits and all those videos that we did, trying to smash Tim Pernage and maybe you. I know only two people could fit, so I don't remember who it was. I don't remember if it was me, but inside the submarine that we made, and someone like was like shooting torpedoes at the front, and someone else had the propeller in the back. I was very proud of that float that we made that year.
I think it, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I know we did a lot, like all the float stuff we did, or a lot of the projects we would do at the school, but for whatever reason, I specifically remember, I could be wrong, did the submarine, did the three of us, me, you and Tim, did we do that a bunch of at his dad's house?
No, at his dad's house was the Jeep made out of all the metal in his garage, and it was freezing in there because there was no heater. And so we were trying to bend all that metal in the shape of a Jeep. I think the sub was mostly done in the classroom with the
That was
chicken
like
wire. And
paper mache, and right? Was that paper
yeah,
mache?
we like no, it, it, we made it look like papier mâché, but it was just like a big tarp with like things on it. I just remember like we wouldn't let other people touch it. It was like, this is our float. Like, we're in your class. Like, yeah, but here, you can hold this hammer while we do stuff. So that was a lot of fun.
That's crazy. I just, not to go too far back, but like when you brought up being in the science room. Like I'm sure you could probably pick any room in the college, and if you just think about that room, a bunch of memories will pop up, right? But as soon as you brought up the science room and like us just being goofballs, like I mean, I thought of like three things right off the top of my head, and I won't go into detail with any of them in case people want to bring them up. But like, I remember, I don't know if you remember the track that we built for that like remote. It was a remote control car or whatever that like went the whole classroom. Like
Yeah,
I
in
remember
a
breaking.
circuit. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember breaking out like the Tesla coil, and like there was like I think there was like a stuffed bear that we dipped in water and hung him outside at night to freeze, and then we're like hitting him with the Tesla coil, and then like it's just like just crazy. Remember the I have a very vivid memory with Doug. Maybe I'll share it on his episode, senior year, which some of you know it as the old school snatch. I'll just leave that as that. It's a teaser if Doug wants to talk about it.
Oh,
But
yeah.
yeah, it's just interesting that you could think about probably any room in that building and like different memories will like flood to your mind.
Yeah, I remember in the cafeteria sitting across, I think we were probably fifth or sixth grade, maybe fifth grade, sitting across from Tim Schock and drinking chocolate milk. And I had just taken a huge thing of chocolate milk. And I don't remember what he said or what he did, but it was so funny. I literally spit it out all over his white Zoe polo. And he just was like sitting there, you know, like staring at me. And I felt kind of bad, but it was just so funny. I was just like, and then Mrs. Mattis was right there, and I got reamed out. And I loved Mrs. Mattis, but I just remember being in so much trouble and almost feeling like it was worth it, to for that just that moment, in at Zoe. So,
That's funny. There
yeah.
was and I'm just trying to shoot off some different memories involving you, just interesting ones that I don't know if you recall this, and I don't remember what year it was, but there was I think in the 4 years that of high school, and then even like after high school, like our friendship was a long friendship. I think there was only one time that you and I actually like argued and we got into like a fight. And I don't know if you remember, like, I don't remember too much. I know it was over a girl, and I remember it being in the hallway, like right outside of the chapel. Don't really
Like
remember,
the art
like,
between the chapel and the art room.
yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't remember, like, the specific, I remember. Again, I remember who it was about. I don't remember the specifics. I don't remember exactly what happened. Like, did it get physical? I don't know. But I just, that memory sticks in my head like vaguely, and probably vaguely because it ended up being like, yeah, this is not that serious. This is my best friend. Like, no big deal. But like, it
Yeah.
just struck me as I was just thinking about stuff.
I don't know if it's the same time, but I remember punching each other and laughing hysterically while we punched each other. And just like, I don't know why that, I think that's just what teenage boys do, you know? They're just like, we thought it was so funny that we were hitting each other so hard. And this is like the stupid stuff that you do, you know? And even that, remember in that whole area, there was that, the pit, you know, where people would eat down in front, down in the bottom there. Just like, crazy, crazy times in the hallway, because I would have been upper high school once we got moved over there.
I think it was all. I think it was all of high school because I don't have any memories of eating in the cafeteria. So I think in high school it was all in that area, but like the upperclassmen were like down in the pit. And then like so as freshmen we were kind of like on the outskirts, and then we got to move a little closer until like now we're in the pit. I think that's how it was.
Yeah, I think we didn't even have tables. Did we have to sit on the floor?
I don't think there was tables until like near the end. Like maybe our senior year there was tables, but for a
Okay.
while there definitely wasn't. Yeah, so we must have sat on the I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, 'cause
That's crazy.
I think, and again, my memory is not the best, but I remember that area being almost like no seating, but there was like a rail surrounding it, right? But then
Yeah.
I think by the end they had like booths in the pit, and then they had finished that rail with like almost like bars, like seating on the rails, like and so
Okay, yeah.
it like started off as one thing, and then I think junior year, senior year, something like that, they made it really nice.
That was such a I feel like the year that we graduated, it was like right at some really cool things that were happening at SCS, and even a few years at SCS. Yeah, I said it at Zoe. A few years after that, they started to just do some really cool things at the school. I remember that's where we'd also served Little Caesar's Pizza,
Yeah.
that we those $5 pizzas all the time.
Was that like every Friday or was that a once a month thing? I don't
I
know. I
feel like it
just
started once a month, and then everyone was like, why don't we just do this every Friday?
And
And
I think they were like dollar slices, right? Is that what we did?
I can't even believe it. So it was $4 for a whole pie, and like everybody did it, you know? And I think it was a fundraiser for the soccer team,
It probably was.
which I don't know what we spent all that money on. Maybe uniforms.
Maybe. I mean, even still, like the uniforms couldn't have been. It's not like the soccer team had huge expenses, right? So, like, how much could a uniforms been?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
So
Yeah, because it did not go to the field, I'll tell you that.
that's right. I tell you what, but those are some of the good memories too. The soccer field, playing with even the grade older than us. I think it was our junior year, and that was one of the best years for me. It was definitely my best year ever with sports, and just the fun that's involved with it, and just feeling like you guys are doing something, you know, people. I think like oh, what's his name? Who are the guys that were older than us? We had Pete Halicki, right? Tim H
Like,
Hogan.
are you saying one grade above us?
Yeah.
So that was Nick Schmatero
Yes.
and maybe was Josiah Peschel and Joe
He was
Popke
the
and
Joe Popke was there. I don't think Josiah finished.
I'm just thinking of that class in general. Like, who else would have been in that class?
Yeah, because they were all like the goalie in the defensive line for soccer. And
Cook, Tim, was it Matt Cook or Tim Cook? I can't even remember now.
we'll apologize to everybody that we're butchering their names. But that was a really fun time. That was a fun year, and it was an awesome way to start off a school year too. Just having that, and having feeling like you had your place, you know, you had your place in the school where this is what you did. I realized it was such a big part of my identity, just to feel like I did something. And then, you know, obviously I blew out my ACL before senior year, which was a radical shift for me of like, what is all this stuff? But that year, that's when was it Stefan Reimer when he broke his leg out on the field? I took that slide tackle as a goalie. I think I was, I don't know if he, but I was even at that game because I didn't come to a lot of games senior year.
I feel like
So,
it was a home game, so I would have thought you would have at least, I don't know, I can't remember. So you didn't play at all the full senior season? Like, you weren't even there at near the tail end? I couldn't remember.
not at all. I blew it out in the summertime at basketball camp, and at first I was like, I'll be like the team like book guy, you know. But I just soccer was my life, and so it was so hard for me to come out there and sit at the sidelines. I think I did one game, and I was like, I'm not, I can't do it.
Yeah,
So I
that's
didn't really
bad.
show up much after that, which that was a big turning point for me too, because I really just wanted to go to college to play soccer somewhere. But I wasn't good enough to play at any really big school, so I probably would have found a small, you know, school somewhere that would let me play. But once that was kind of just ripped away, really just started thinking about what was most important in life, and that's when I decided to go to a Christian college and started looking specifically at those things. So if that hadn't happened, I probably never would have gone to ORU, probably never would have met my wife and all that followed. So
Did ORU have a team at all?
yeah, they're a Division I school though, so I
Gotcha.
would go to the games and watch them, and I was like, these guys are pretty good. We just play intramurals and mess around and stuff. So
That's fair. So when I like, because when I went to actually went away to college, I went to Valley Forge in Pennsylvania.
that's
Very
right.
like, just I mean, it was kind of like the Zoe of Christian colleges, and the fact that like I think. Which it's obviously a lot bigger, but for college numbers, I think we had when I was there, maybe 1,000 students. So it was really small.
Yeah.
I don't remember what division they were, definitely not D1, but they for sure like wanted me to play, like they saw me playing soccer and they want, and I was like, nah, I didn't like the coach, so I didn't do it. But like, so like if, and you were much better at soccer than I was, so like you could have definitely like found that niche somewhere of like, yeah, this is the team, you know.
I don't know. What was really cool is being able to do it with your friends, you know. So you and Tim being out there on the soccer field, it was special. You know, it was a special times. And I tried to explain this to someone the other day. When you go to a Christian school for a long time, your classmates really do become like family. And that's what it feels like when you're there, because you're with these people all day, every day. It's not like a big school where you're changing classes every period and you have hundreds of people to remember. It was just like just us.
Yeah.
It was just that group of 20. So it's that I think that it does something to you as a young person because you're well known, and you don't have anonymity. And so I think it just builds confidence, and it also like keeps you accountable in a different way, like accountable to be who you are, as opposed to being able to change who you are all the time because you're around a bunch of different strangers all the time. So I think that it helps form identity in you because you realize this is who I am.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
So.
I love the fact that you brought up the feeling like a family thing too, because that is so true of, and actually I don't think you even know this because I didn't tell you, but you'll know it now, but I recorded a like a episode zero kind of like introduction to this podcast that you can listen to, and then yours will air right after. But one of the things that I was trying to say in there was the same thing, and I don't think it's unique to just our class. I think it was probably pretty common theme within Zoe, but just the family atmosphere. And one of the things that I love is, and I was bringing this up, like I was only there for 4 years, and there were people that were in the class for a lot longer that maybe weren't even there when I was there, so that like I wouldn't even necessarily know, but like I had heard stories of them or whatever. And so like even that, like I consider as like a portion of that, even though like I don't have that, you know, day-to-day relationship with them throughout my school years. I knew who they were. They were part of the family, and it's like you almost just treat each other as such. And so it's just a really cool, unique thing that I think would, you know, happen in our life.
Yeah, it's definitely it's something to pursue.
Yeah.
So,
Well, you got any other memories or any other thing you want to talk about?
I mean, if we're, I feel like, it, I feel like it's so interesting to me now being the age of all of the people who, were teaching us, or administrating the school. And I just realized how much we thought that they knew that they probably didn't know,
Right.
because now I'm that age and I know how much I don't know and how much I'm just like winging it. So it's just funny to me that, all of those people there, all of those teachers and administrators and, aides and all of that stuff, like they were on their own journey too. And they were going through life and showing up to work and trying to deal with knuckleheaded teenagers and at the same time trying to coach them and do the right thing by them. And just have a lot of respect for a lot of those people who, were willing to put themselves out there during that time frame. Obviously not being paid very much to do that, but nonetheless thought that we were worth them spending all their time with us.
Yeah.
And so it's just really cool to have that kind of first perspective and realize you don't have to have everything figured out in order to make a big difference. And I guess you just understand that once you turn 40 and go, wow, I thought 40-year-olds knew a whole lot more than I do right now.
Yeah.
So it's reassuring, let me put it that way.
No, that's awesome. And circling back to specifically Mrs. Kane that you brought up earlier, she just was perfect example of what you're just saying, that like I don't even think about it at the time that I'm there at school, but like now I can sit back and really appreciate, like, she wasn't the only one, but she would sit, like she would stay hours after school was over. She would come in early. She would be there all day through the summer. Like anytime you needed something from her, she would
make herself available. And again, I'm not saying she's the only one. There were other teachers that would have probably done the same thing, but she sticks out in my mind of doing that. And that's incredible. The fact that, like, for her, really, it was a job. But then she's also like, well, you know what? She probably put in just as much time unpaid versus paid, you know? That's just, it's incredible.
And to be able to have that perspective to appreciate that, that's pretty cool. What else? That senior trip was a lot of fun. In Florida, that I felt like that was a really cool time, just to kind of be still the school, but be in a different place. I remember, I don't know if I dyed my hair before that trip though, as well. So I felt like this like young, like rebellion, like I'm leaving SES now, and I'm gonna be a rebel, you know, and I'm gonna bleach my hair before I go to Florida. Just you look back and pull out all those old pictures and you just kind of laugh. I try to explain to my kids what that means to bleach your hair because they don't know what that means. And I'm like, yeah, basically just turn my hair all orange. And they're like, why'd you do that? And I'm like, I don't know. It was cool at the time, but I don't know why I did it now. But I guess, you know, perspective really does come with age, you know. And in that, just so thankful for my years there.
I
Wouldn't trade
think
it for the world.
I think one of the things that sticks out to me about the senior trip versus the DC trip, for instance, like the DC trip, I mean, and we had, don't get me wrong, we had chaperones on the senior trip too, but like the DC trip, we had our chaperones and they were with us. Like we weren't getting away with anything. And I don't think any of us were really trying to get away with anything. But the senior trip was a lot different. Like, yeah, we had chaperones, but we had such a freedom to just be ourselves. It was almost like hey, you're getting ready to like go out in the world. So here's a little tiny like taste of like some of that freedom of just you make the choices that you make. And so it was, yeah.
I think I still have pictures of us on the. I think that's probably the only time I've ever been to an amusement park and have bought the picture that they take of you when you're going has been senior trip. I think every other time I'm like, yeah, it's not worth it. But that time I really wanted those pictures. I think it was the Tower of Terror, maybe, if we go on that.
I
But
don't.
because you have the whole, yeah, like the whole class at once on one frame that
Yeah,
we're dropping. I think I want.
I can't remember which one it was, but I vaguely remember a big class picture.
Yes. And I even remember in middle school, like, you know, Mrs. Carswell. I don't know, did you have her? She was a unique teacher, but I just one thing she did that I thought, you know, was kind of unique. She wanted us to pretend like we were painting the Sistine Chapel. And so she had us lay on the floor under our desks and put tape paper to the bottom of our desks and then paint. And I just remember thinking, as like paint is like spattering, you know, off of my brush, like getting in my eye, and I'm like, you know, trying to. I just remember thinking, this is the coolest thing I've ever done in my life. Like nobody has let me paint like upside down before, and you just get lost in that little world of wonder. We had teachers that were good at that, good at like making do with what they had, and trying to give us really good experiences. Also, our math classes, you know, I feel like. You know, what's his name? Leiter.
Kendrick?
Yes. He was the smartest kid in our class, like
I can
hands down. I tried to have a conversation with him and I had no clue half the words that he was using. But I remember being in math class with him and he's like five chapters ahead of the teacher, like. And he didn't pay attention at all in class. It was so frustrating. He just like sat and like read his little novel when he was there.
Oh yeah, I
And
do
then like,
remember.
and then he would just like blitz out these tests and stuff. I remember him asking the teacher questions and I had no clue what they were talking about. And the teacher was like trying to flip ahead to like see what he was talking about in the chapters ahead. And it was just like, it was cool to be surrounded by people who just kind of did their own thing. Like, they were just themselves, and I feel like Zoe let us be that. You know, I don't feel like Zoe was trying to push us into a particular kind of mold. Obviously, there were behavior ideas about, you know, what a Christian would be, and but I just felt like everybody was fiercely independent, and I don't remember that being like swatted down too often. Even when we tried to change stuff in the school, I remember them just letting us do stuff. If no one was going to get hurt, and you know, we weren't going to burn the building down, they let us do stuff. And that was probably maybe that era of just having more freedom. And now everyone's really tight with, you know, what they let their kids do, or what you can do, what you're being afraid of doing because you might get sued. So it just was felt like a very free time, which usually you don't hear that from kids in Christian school, I think. I think a lot of times they feel like they have a uniform and they have to do X, Y, and Z, and I got to do my homework, and it's drudgery. But I just always felt so free.
No, I agree with that for sure. I think you bringing up like them not really forcing change on us or forcing like any ideology, obviously other than like the Christian, beliefs and everything like that were a core of the school. There are two instances, only two instances I can think of where the school or somebody from the school was trying to push me to be different than like what I was, and one of them directly involves you. I'll save that one, but
Oh.
one of them was just an individual, and it was still to this day I still find it like humorous in a way. But I don't, do you remember, I think it was our junior year when we did the mock election, and it was Eric Kettlehut and myself ran as the Democratic Party, and
Okay.
I think it was the class under us. I think it was Matt Schmatero and I don't remember who else was like that, like vice president, like, and they were the Republican Party. And I don't know if you remember this at all, but of course this is like a Mr. Keeping idea, and it was awesome. It was really
Yeah.
cool. And our class took it seriously where their class didn't. And
We always did.
we had a like a legit debate in chapel one day. And I remember getting on the topic of abortion. So now Eric and I are having to do this as the Democratic side. And I
Yeah.
remember Miss Watson getting so fired up, and she was so angry at us, like for a long time. And it kind of goes to show like how seriously we took it that we were able to get into that and like take, whatever. But like
Yeah.
that was one time she was not happy, and she did not want us like going down that route. So that was like one. It's just, go ahead.
You might have been winning the debate, and that's maybe what made her upset, because you
We
guys were a
were
little bit more prepared.
we
But
absolutely won the debate. There was no debate. Like they literally did not come prepared at all. So
that's awesome. Yeah, I remember those. We did have debates in Mr. Keeping's class too. And afterwards, everyone was angry at everyone. Because we really got into it, even if we were having to debate a position that we didn't actually hold. We're like, well, if I have to hold this, I'm going to debate it really hard. And you know, and just remember always spilling out into the hallway, and like suddenly our class is in two factions that really had nothing to do with each other before. Like, what wasn't like who your friends were. Like, your friend could be on the other side, but now you're angry with them, and you're just looking like hang out with your faction group for the day, which I think is just brilliant, and it's good, you know. And Mr. Keeping's class was always, you know, you never knew what to expect. And I think he tried really hard to like keep us engaged and to like get our attention. But I know we always could, if we'd always try to throw him off on the trains comments and see if we could, like, especially if it was like 10 minutes left in class, we're like, we might be able to start that trains conversation and head off like the homework assignment that we knew would be coming at the end. Try to get him off on that tangent.
That's so funny because, like, you saying that, I vividly remember doing that, and I had no recollection of that 10
Not
minutes
that
ago.
no,
But, like,
that's no.
I for sure remember, like, trying to avoid stuff by just getting him to, yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, that was great.
So the other story, and again, this is early on when I first came in freshman year. I don't know, and I don't want to name names because I don't, first of all, I don't remember which person this was, but I know somebody up high, in the board or in whatever, called my parents in, and it was like maybe a week or two after I was like started at the school, and they sat them down and they said, "Hey, so we just want to let you know, like, your son really should try and find some better friends." And they're like, well, what are you talking about? And it was because I was hanging out with Nate McCann a lot too. And they're like, he's just not a good influence for your son. And like, I look back at that now, and they specifically were like, you should have him hang out with somebody like Joel, which you and I were already like kind of hanging out anyway. But like, I remember it like now to think back to that and be like, that's crazy, because I understand the thought process behind it, but like, Nate McCann never made me do anything I didn't want to do or anything. Like, and we had a good friendship. So like, it's just crazy. That was the only other thing that I could think of where somebody tried to push something, you know?
I think back to like Nate, and I didn't get to spend a lot of time with him, and I do regret that. I actually don't. I have no clue where he's at. I hope you find him and put him on the podcast.
I've tried to find him. I haven't found him yet. If
Yeah,
anybody
but
knows, let me know.
yeah, we're looking for Nate McCann. Help us find him. But yeah, that I think there was one of those things where people just thought, "Hey, Joel's a good, quiet kid. You should hang out with him." And I know we're trying to probably keep this to Zoe, but the stuff we did outside of school, it was like, "Hey, again." Maybe good wholesome fun, but I'm sure there's some property damage involved in,
there's definitely technically theft, right?
yes, and I think it was
Do you
that
care if I share
I think we're past the statute
the
of
statute?
limitations.
Well, then you can like plug in and like put your, but essentially for those of you that, and some of you probably know because we probably did it to you, but we would do this thing, Joel, Tim, and I, where we would go to a Meijer or Kroger or whatever. And was it Tim? Tim had that Ford Ranger, right? That's what we used.
Yeah, he had the
Yeah.
pickup truck.
Yeah. So we would just toss in a shopping cart, and then we'd go drive to somebody's house that we knew and put the shopping cart on their porch and then ditch. And
That's what we did for fun. Like,
that
that's what we thought was the most hilarious thing ever. And I think it was because we're like, what are they going to do?
was,
They can't like throw it out.
yeah.
And I remember, do you remember when we did it to our pastor? I think he.
Vaguely.
I think the next Sunday he referenced it in church and was like, and whoever put the shopping cart on my porch, and you and I are just sitting there like sweating, like we just got called out in church for stealing a shopping cart and putting it on our pastor's porch. But yeah, I just always tried to, I feel like we always tried to watch out for each other too. And I'm really thankful for you and for Tim. I knew that hanging out with you guys was good for me. And I knew that we were gonna always be able to watch each other's backs. And so that was just, it's really that's how I'm built. I don't need a lot of friends in order to feel that friendship vacuum is full. But just people you can trust and call on and share life with. So.
I don't have it like physically on me right now. I'll have to send you a picture. Maybe I'll put a picture in the comments on Facebook if people want to see. But I just came across the other day, and I've got hanging up on my wall over there. I don't know if you remember, we got like that like oversized guitar pick, and the three of us signed it because remember we had our band Garage.
We were terrible.
So I don't think we ever played like an actual like we just. I think maybe once or twice played at Tim's dad's house.
Yeah, but no, I don't think any of us ever took any lessons.
No.
We just like picked instruments up and tried to play them. But that's what you do, We thought we were cool.
I'll bring up one other like Pat like post Zoe memory with in this realm. So I don't know if you remember on our trip to South Africa when we had our layover in Amsterdam and we went to the Hard Rock Cafe. And there was a hallway, if I remember correctly, there was a hallway leading down to the bathroom that had all these different bands that had like been there and signed the wall. And so the three of us signed the wall as Garage.
Oh no, it's probably still there.
Probably is. So somebody's
Halfway
like,
around the
"By the,
world.
I don't know who this band is, but they're obviously they signed
Because
it."
once it's there, you can't take it down from the wall. You don't know. They could be someone obscure that's just really, you have to be cultured in order to know what it is. So, man, yeah, that's definitely memory lane. And you know, I love Facebook. Well, I don't love Facebook, but I love being able to go on there and just see, you know, what everybody's doing. It's just a unique perspective. We love to see people change over time. You know, that's why at weddings we show pictures of kids when they're babies, and that's why at funerals we show pictures of people's weddings, because we just like to see that transformation. Because I think it what it does for us is it really shows that we're living life, and that life changes you, and that there is a purpose to just every day waking up, you know, because we change over time. And you know, I've definitely changed here and there. I've learned a lot along the way, and you know, I think sometimes living in a couple different places too, it helps broaden your perspective on culture and what's right and what's wrong. And sometimes you surprise yourself looking in the mirror, and you realize, I can't believe I used to think, you know, X, Y, and Z, you know. And it's just you come to these places where of wondering how you survived high school, but God is good.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, before we I guess before we take off here, let me do I just guess a little bit of what I don't know what to call this, but and then I want to give you one final thing too. But if for whatever reason you've stumbled upon this podcast and you either are not in the Facebook group or don't have Facebook, feel free to like reach out, get a hold of us, because we have almost everybody in our class in this Facebook group, but there are still a few outliers. So if you're out there somehow, you found like a friend told you, a classmate told you, hey, check out the podcast. There is a Facebook group. Get involved, or at least message somebody. That way you can be in the know when we do these little hangout meetups and stuff. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got there. Joel, I'm gonna give you kind of the final word to say whatever you want to say, send the class off for this episode, or however you want to do it. So I'll give you the final word.
Well, class of 2002, I miss you guys. And I wish we could have some time to sit and talk with each other. If anything, just to catch up and find out where everybody's at. And no matter where you're at, just know that once a Zoe, what were we again? The Warriors? Yeah. Once a Zoe Warrior, always a Zoe Warrior. And so, if you need anything, let me know. I'd love to talk with you, especially if you're having a hard time going through something. Because if you don't have anybody to reach out to, you can call us or this Facebook group or this podcast. Send a little note, throw your phone number in there, and we'll reach out. And I appreciate you guys. Again, tons of memories up here that I know will become unlocked with later podcasts. Episodes as we repiece together what we experienced for every day, 5 days a week, 180 days a year, for however many years you were at us, Zoe.
Awesome, Joel. I thanks again for your time. And I truly like I don't know what the end goal of this podcast is, but I could definitely see a path forward where there's a Joel Moss part two episode or three or whatever. So if there's more that you want to share down the road, let me know. We could do another episode.
Awesome.
Thanks again, Joel. It's been great talking to you. And
Thank you, Josh.
we'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Together, and it's just the way you own every day.